completely legal today. But yeah, so we read the some of the formulations of Shyam Sunderpal Hirsch, the architect of, you know, that particular formulation of it. But I say, I think the basic principles, you know, there's always a range and, you know, a variety of, you know, different nuances applied to these things. But in a broad way, it certainly reflects, we'll call it, you know, the Torah and or plus ideology. And I wanted to read a little bit of some of the material from Rabbi Breuer, you know, that's two generations later, which is, you know, just to give some historical perspective in terms of the move to America and post-Shoah on the one hand, and also the, you know, more acute, I guess, feeling that there needs to be like a response to some of the contemporary and then, you know, next generation, you know, criticism by many of the Rabbanim in Eastern Europe. So this is an example of that, and also in the interest of not just equal, you know, equalizing, you know, the arguments, but also I think because many of the, we're all mostly familiar with much of this debate, but as in the case of most debates, you know, the primary positions, you know, on the opposite sides in many cases are not so far apart. And sometimes, you know, it looks like mutually exclusive, you know, perspectives is upon further glance, you know, an argument, you know, about either assessing, you know, alternatives or conditions or, you know, risk analysis. Of course, there are still differences in terms of things that you value and how much you value them, how much risk you're willing to take, you know, is also a function of either assessing the circumstances, you know, and all of the consequences. But in some cases, the, you know, the more intense or more diluted value that you assign, you know, to certain, you know, factors. So I'm not suggesting that there isn't a machlokas here. There certainly is. And they say it's a very old one. It reflects two tendencies and also two perspectives. But there's much more common ground, you know, than is sometimes acknowledged or understood. So just I wanted to take this for a minute or a couple of minutes. There's a very famous, you know, piece in the Birch HaShmuel. Birch HaShmuel, of course, is a Baruch Be'er Leibovitz who, you know, was a Talmud, very prominent Talmud, some people say Talmud Buvak, of Reb Chaim, and very devoted to Reb Chaim's, you know, teachings, you know, and to Reb Chaim as a you know, as a persona as well. So in the, in a very famous siman in the end of Birch HaShmuel in Kiddushin, the entire Birch HaShmuel, of course, is about, you know, Chidushei Torah on different mesachtas. But at the end of this mesachta, so he probably, it's here because of the discussion in Kiddushin about, you know, Umanus and all of that, you know, kind of a Torah and Derech Eretz issue. So you have printed here in Siman Chaf Zayin, and it became very famous, Tshuva L'Rav Echad B'Ashkenaz, you know, B'din Mitzvahs Limud HaTorah. That sounds, you know, innocuous, you know, enough. A responseman, you know, from a Rav in Germany, you know, about the Mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, but it's really about, you know, weighing in on this whole question of Rav Hirsch's philosophy in Torah Derech Eretz. So just to read a few, you know, passages. And I think the takeaway is that on the one hand, there's like a very dire, you know, picture being drawn, you know, about the dangers. You know, even if those, well, obviously that's the way that they perceived it. And there might also have been differences, you know, both in the way they perceived it and in the reality on the ground. But a lot of this should resonate with us because a lot of the dangers still exist. But, you know, the bigger point is to try to, you know, filter out, you know, from the particular circumstances of those days and those alternatives, like what are the primary values, you know, that we are concerned about. And as I say, in that, you know, there really is much more common denominator, common ground than is thought. So, hini mashin es oru chilukim ben acharedim yichyu, yeshnam sherotzim lashuv leachoz b'derech hakodesh. I mean, again, there's obviously a bias in the writing, which is fine. That's, he felt it very deeply. Lilmod b'neim torasenu akdosha k'derech avosehem lifanim. I mean, this is characterized as a, you know, a pro Masorah or, you know, against Masorah, which I think is, you know, that's a consequence of his assessment and, you know, a biased one at that. But, you know, obviously the, you know, the factor of being, you know, in the line of Masorah is, you know, perceived to be critical, and everybody should perceive that to be critical. Asher ikar torasenu akdosha haisab b'midinasa, v'yesh me'acharedim yechiu, somchim atzmam al horos rabam hagona tzadik, morash refol hirsh, tzatzal, v'shol katra mimeni shagid echu adin al pi ha'torah akdosha. So he starts off by speaking very harshly about, you know, the encounter with Haskalah, which was, you know, certainly the prevalent attitude. You have to say that Rav Hirsch was in Western Europe, and, you know, Baruch Baer's writing in Eastern Europe, and there was a huge divide in reality, but also, you know, in perspective on this issues. So, b'metusa mikvod charedi, imanu asher amdo b'tziruf b'nisayom b'shas ha-mulchama shal yetzer hara milchemes ha-malek, like very strong language, as you can hear. Lahakchid aydei haskala shem Yisrael b'toraseinu hakdosha. They saw the haskala as an attack on, which in many cases it certainly was, on traditional, you know, Yor Shamayim and Torah. V'hinei avosechem shamu lekol rabam hatzadik v'amdu raglam ala Torah hakdosha hinani mevarcham ki azreim Hashem Yisbarach v'yizaku liros b'shuv Hashem Yisbarach Shvus Amo Bimhera Biamenu, Amen. Ulam Ha'emes al Pi Torah, Mechuyev Kol Rav Lahagid Kichas V'Shalom Lomar Shi al Pi Torah Kedosha Shiitnu Yisrael B'neihem LeGymnaziot. You know, that's the equivalent of colleges. The Rak Shagona Tzadik Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, who he admired very much, everybody did. Asazot, so he kind of ascribes a Horah Shah perspective. Mipneshu ra'a kolkach et ra'al hapitui shel haskala boer v'ayta bevadai kavanas hatzadik sh'ayidei zeh yashuvu l'tshuva shleima b'hemshech hazman k'sheitamu tama shel Torah v'yavinu me'atzmam l'shanos es ha'esek ha'chochmos ha'chitzonios v'leahu v'estoraseinu ha'kdosha k'mamer David HaMelech sheker sanesi v'etavat v'toraska a hafti. So again, basically, he, you know, is machshir the gavra, you know, of Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. He calls him a tzaddik and had great respect for him. But you know, perceives again the you know, the philosophy of Torah Derech Eretz. He sees it as, from Rav Hirsch's point of view, a Horah Shah, a b'diavad, a strategy, which if you read the material itself, as we did previously, is, you know, is not consistent with the way that he writes about it. Certainly there is also a strategic element, and we'll get back to it in a second, in terms of like the options that are facing, you know, Western European Jews at that point, and the idea that they're likely to be exposed, you know, and, you know, that if you forbid them exposure, that there'll still be many, you know, who are going to avail themselves of, like, educational opportunities or cultural interaction, and therefore, you know, a proper approach is required. That's certainly part of it, but as we saw, you know, Rav Hirsch also assigns great value to you know, secular knowledge when pursued, you know, in a proper way and filtered in a proper way as well. Yeah.
Did he have the Hirsch's writings?
I have no idea. That's a great question. I mean, Rav Hirsch wrote in German. much of the stuff is written in German. It's very unlikely, you know, again, I don't know this, you know, certainty, but most Talmidei Chachamim, you know, in Eastern Europe, you know, did not read fluently German. That I know. I can't say that none did. I mean, they, you know, Yiddish is a corruption, you know, of German. You know, it's a very charming corruption, don't get me wrong. But when I say it's a corruption, I don't mean it in a, you know, in a critical, you know, value way. I mean it in a, like, you know, objective, aesthetic, you know, historical, you know, linguistic way. So, but yeah, but, you know, pure, first wrote in flowery, you know, German, which is why translations, you know, are such a challenge, you know, for whether it's in Hebrew or English, and that's why they've redone both of their Hebrew and their English, because actually Rav Breuer, Zecharno Livracha, left that, I was just mentioning the other day, as a legacy to his family, you know, that, you know, that the original translations he felt were, you know, too stilted, you know, and to capture better, like, the fullness and more accurately. So this idea that, like, these, you know, writings, as writings were available, I'm guessing is unlikely. You know, but I don't know 100%.
In theory, it's not really a fair response.
Right. I mean, I can. You can't read the stuff that, you know, that I was reading, you know, aloud last week and think that this is only a strategy, you know, and it's only, you know, a, you know, kind of an after the fact, a b'di'evad, as we'll see. And that's what Rav Breuer addresses also when he, you know, talks about, you know, he mentions, as I'll see, we'll see soon, he mentions that, you know, people projected Rav Hirsch's, you know, posture to be a Horos Shah and a b'di'evad, and he, you know, he refutes that, you know, very strongly. So yeah, I think it's a great point, and it's very likely he didn't read the writings. They were aware of the policy, and I'm sure they heard reports, you know, about some of it. And there's no question that there were strategic elements and b'di'evad elements too. In other words, the Haskalah was, you know, significantly undermining, you know, traditional, you know, Limud HaTorah and Shmiras HaMitzvos in a very big way. It was a huge acculturation. You know, there wasn't assimilation so much then, you know, but the acculturation piece was massive. So half of this, part of this, you know, is correct, but it's only in part. And in a way, it's, you know, they didn't have this experience. I mean, some of these Talmidei Chacham didn't have, you know, forget about reading Rav Hirsch's, you know, writings, but, you know, they themselves did not have, like, formal, you know, education or necessarily exposure, you know, to these kind of texts. So, you know, when you hear that, like, a great man who's a big Talmid Chacham and a tzaddik to boot, it's interesting, he calls him, you know, ha-tzaddik, you know, that he, you know, is proposing, you know, this kind of, you know, call it synthesis or, you know, more complex. So, you know, the first thing you kind of impose your own, you know, perspective on it. Like, we know he's, you know, Mishalanu, you know, he's a big Talmid Chacham. He's, you know, completely motivated L'shem Shamayim. You know, so, you know, the best explanation that comes, you know, to the fore, you know, is this Horos Shah and B'Yabed, and it's like, you know, it's being Mimai Tesara. And again, since there is some truth to some of it, but it's just not, you know, the primary or the main story. Anyway, so, yeah. So, and again, then he goes on to say, this, you know, some other choice things about, I'm Bishar Shlishi, Sefer Yashar Ben Atan, isn't really Ben Atan, but, Efshar Shatia Rova Chachma Mashkis, Umachasar Ho Amuna, Kigon Chachma Sapikarsim, Aminim, Aphilosophim, Asher Einam, Maminim Betorah Hakadosha, Kilotech Sara Abba, Bipnei Lev Harab Bilvad, Elam Bipnei Limud Chachmos Raos, Vizchadshu Belev Inyanim, Raim Asher Yashkisu, Motza ha'ava v'yashuv mikora mikor mashchit umayan nirpash ayin shom shehirich odes, quoting, you know, from other sources. So again, you know, our tendency when we read these things is to be a little bit, you know, skeptical about it. But when I read these things, and they're written by great people, people, my perspective, my approach is to try to understand them within their context, of course, but also to draw, the positive and the beneficial things from them. Meaning, it is absolutely true that, that a person who doesn't have filters, and he doesn't have a masora, and he doesn't have a commitment, can be led astray by, by studying things, again, without, without a hierarchy of authority and mentoring, et cetera, and there's a lot of danger. I mean, they saw the fallout. In Eastern Europe, there was like a huge, as I say, acculturation. Atanavo, then he says, La'etzam adin de mitzvah tam b'torah, the gam levayar esaptur de v'asafta de ganecha, the brachos, et cetera. So again, what's interesting here, I don't want to go through all things because I want to get back to the other parts, but his formulation also zeroes in very interestingly on like a maximalist pursuit of Talmud Torah, and like the goal of producing, for every person who's mechuyev Talmud Torah, to producing, Talmidei Chachamim, on the highest level, like a very aspirational, excellence, standard, a maximalist standard for Talmud Torah, which I totally think is very appealing. Again, it's part of this perspective because, like, once you think that that is the only, let's say, or the focal point, so then, of course, any distraction, also becomes less justified, even if it isn't inherently. That becomes not only a religious question, but a Bittul Torah issue. And while I totally identify and am inspired by some of the formulations here, it's just important to understand how it fits into the piece. But this is very much a reflection of, the Lithuanian orientation, which mostly I think is very inspiring. So he says, "Hinei b'dvar Talmud Torah debanu mishnanta lebanecha." But it's an interesting formulation that everybody would agree with. "Hinei mevur lehedra b'kedushin daf lamed shachiyuv al kol ish v'ish miYisrael lirot shebno ben bno yiyu l'talmidei chachamim u'gaonim b'torah." Again, those are big words. Shenemar b'shinanta lebanecha. That's for sure true. But zeroing in on the Gemara in kedushin daf lamed. So again, this is a very interesting issue in general, based on that Gemara in Kiddushin. Like, is that really, if you're going to achieve that level of greatness, so that, obviously, that's a very ambitious program. So is that, like, the core, obligation, or is that, like an ultimate, hope, for those who have the ability. We'll get to that part in a second. Harishin is chayiv kolechad lami b'no kolat Torah kula. I think it's mostly 100% true. Kemoshim alamdim by yeshivos. In ben chavero mimos Moshe v'adata. V'chein mechuyiv kol ish miYisrael lami b'no Torah shebichsav b'schar v'torah shebalpeh chinam ogam b'schar mefshalo kemoshim pasak adim t'rush chan aruch. Right, the mitzvah like Mure, Mishnu, Gemara, Halachas, Vagados, etc. V'hinei ya'ainu na b'divrei mori v'rabi agona miti achase. This is Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim apparently wrote in a mimer called Darka Shel Torah, Neged HaRishayim Habale methods, I guess. V'yimatsu sham divrei esh mitlakachas mipi rashka bahag, ki kol ish mi Yisrael asheru mekameitz b'limud Torah libno, reformer, inroads of the reform, so here he's basically making the argument that not only is like the core obligation of Limud HaTorah you know, Vagisa Vayama Valaila, demand, you know, total and exclusive focus to achieve that result, but that the anything less than that leaves one vulnerable to corruptions. It's a very interesting issue, to corruptions of the Torah itself. Very nice pshat. So what he's saying is something very, again, very inspiring. Number one, the aspiration should be not only to learn, but to, you know, achieve mastery. You know, shehei devei Torah b'chudadim b'picha, shemish alcha al tagam gei metomar. And number two, that level or that aspiration, and not letting up on that level and aspiration, is like the investment in, you know, rooting, you know, this commitment, you know, in a way that number one protects you against, you know, all the winds of change and, you know, all the other cultural currents out there. Moreover, it's something that, you know, is a necessary piece, like to ensure the continuity of generations, you know, in Limud HaTorah. Again, I think there's something, there's a lot here that is, you know, very, you know, formulated in a very, you know, inspiring way. Because of Odim Tishal Alzeh, Haleish Kama Nashim, this is, of course, the big question. So hayish kama nashim bale umanus sheinam gedolim batora ubecholzos anashim yikarim umaminim hema b'Hashem yisbarach. Right, this is a key issue. They shival zed hadavar hu dehu heichin esatzmo lios gadol batora b'nei shalamad b'cheder b'tzmimus b'ulam kishronotav lo hisigul azeh v'alkein b'zel avad ayde sheheichin esatzmo latora Nishar Tzadik Umami. Hine Zeu Tochen Dvar. This is a quotation from this Darka Shel Torah that Reb Chaim wrote. So again, this idea, of course, is really a fault line in you know, in educational policy. Like I think in our circles, you know, everybody is you know, much too self-defeating. You know, in this idea that you know, the aspiration for everybody to become like a big Talmid Chacham, you know, that that's, you know, not even practically on the agenda. It's like, oh, you know, we have to train, you know, barely. We have to train, you know, poskim and Rosh Yeshivas for our generation, but that's not, you know, the business of education, you know, for our children. You know, they just need to have, you know, literacy and a good attitude. And sadly, that's often the attitude that we encounter. You know, and this is exactly, of course, you know, the opposite of that, and there's something certainly more attractive about it. No, the goal of every, you know, person and for his, you know, physical and biological and spiritual children is really that they, you know, achieve, you know, the maximum, that they, you know, reach their potential in Torah. But the fault line in between is like, what about the people who really don't have that potential? Right, and how do you look at them? Is it, you know, a failure, but nebuch, you know, treating them or you know, giving them this kind of curriculum, you know, having them abstain from any other kind of initial training, you know, whether it's in terms of umanus or exposure to other things that might be helpful to them, you know, even ever while, you know, still focusing on, you know, their growth. But in a more realistic way, you know, that is also like an acceptable position, or it's more like, you know, there's only one kind of education, and if there are people who in the end, you know, don't, you know, emerge, you know, with that kind of accomplishment, you know, and they end up somewhere else, so that's kind of like a matir. So I think it's a very interesting, you know, if you look in again, Rav Hirsch's writings, and, you know, in other discussions of education, you know, I'm comfortable with the idea of aspiring for all, and, you know, obviously, not perceiving as a failure and not, you know, necessarily educating all people exactly the same way. But, you know, like initially the default is, you know, to be very ambitious and in some cases to tweak and to adapt as you go along. In any case, very interesting piece. V'hinei ma'omek dvara v'kdoshim, this is now Baruch Ber speaking, mevur shaloka osan anashim shemechashvim bilavavam eitzos v'tachpolos v'tanosam v'kol kavanosam ene elashiyah ben yorei v'chareid. So this is again very interesting, and I identify with this very strongly, although I think it's, you know, it's written in a way, you know, that's a little extreme. The sovrim shebaze yinatzel me'avon amar shel bitul Torah me'haben. Al zeh amar mori v'rabi, right, ein achiyuv Torah, right, deben rak machshirin lozeh sheyar yarei, ela achiyuvu talmud Torah shemechuyav liros sheyiyav bno ubnei beso ga'one v'chach me'atorah. Meaning, he's putting his finger on a certain perspective that even people who like are committed to a very maximalist kind of education, you know, to train their, you know, children or their students, you know, to become talmidei chachamim, that they perceive it as like a means to an end, even though it's a good end. Like the end is, oh, it will ensure that they are, you know, good Jews, shomer mitzvos, you know, yarei, you know, Elokim, Yarei v'chareid, right, etc. And that, you know, this education and this educational aspiration, you know, which negates a bitul Torah and also, you know, kind of fortifies them against, you know, any other kind of exposures, is like an investment in their Yirat Shamayim. And it's totally unsurprising that, again, the Lithuanian posture in Reb Chaim, you know, represents this, of course, as did Reb Chaim Mivolozhin and the, earlier the Gra, of course, is that, no, it's not, you know, Talmud Torah is not a means. You know, that's the theme of Reb Chaim Mivolozhin's, you know, Torah Lishma. You know, Talmud Torah is for its own sake. It's, you know, the mechanism and methodology, you know, of growth, Talmud Torah connected Kulam. And therefore, the aspiration to be, you know, to learn in a maximalist way and to become a Talmud Chacham is not, you know, just an investment. Of course, the consequence of being a Yarei or a Chared, or whatever you want to call it, Chared Lidvar Hashem, to use the words of the Navi, that of course is a consequence, but it's not, you know, Talmud Torah as an emtza'i, as a vehicle, you know, to do that. It's the goal, and it's the natural, you know, correlate, you know, consequence. So again, I think there's a lot here that's very interesting and fast. Anyways, the tamtzis hadvarim, a lot of interesting things along the way, but I don't have time for them right now. Hayotze midvareinu, so al pi ha-Torah ha-chiyuv, debanu b'bnei-banu b'talmud Torah, v'lasosam al-shanum shiu ga'onei v'chach me'atorah, zeh ha-chiyuv, v'lo d'hava rak makshirin sheyu yehudim, the last sentence, I think, is a little extreme. But base is gymnasio to the universitatin, right? Gymnasiums and universities. Osir mishum minus, rachman etzlan. Umori v'rabi, meaning Reb Chaim, b'shasa b'cham alohiter afilu bina b'kuach nefesh. The ein misrapin ba'atzei asherah. We'll see that quote again in a minute. And number three is, now again, this is, you know, secular universities, and they taught, you know, apparently, you know, heretical, or you were exposed there to heretical, you know, subject matter. And it was perceived as spiritually, you know, dangerous, obviously. And third is limud ha-chokhmos b'kfius. This is interesting. Afilu beino levein atzmo. Let's say a person wants to study, you know, other, you know, subject matter privately, not in the framework, not the way it's taught in the universities, in these universities, or, you know, etc. Just, you know, privately. So this is, of course, an interesting issue. V'nifsak brahma simin reish mun vav asar adam lilmod shar chokhmos b'kfius. But of course, that, you know, is an interesting question. You know, the likelihood is that that's not primarily Lekula lechumra, a statement about, you know, how much time you put into it. It doesn't mean like, you know, you can do it, you know, standing up and not sitting down. You know, of course, it's a reference to kavata itim la Torah or asei toraska keva, you know, which means both in terms of, you know, relative time that you invest, but even more so, like the role that it plays, that it's more kavua. Meaning this is, you know, the defining, filtering thing, and the other things are, you know, more aroi, you know, relative to them. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can, you know, it doesn't negate studying other subjects, you know, in a semi-serious way. It just means that relative to Talmud Torah, they should always be tafel or akroi. And then he concludes, achenu nashuva, right, to be'od mo'ed, ke'askala chashka inenu, right, ein lanu shum hanav olamenu. It's very poetic, actually. Hine kol koach Yisrael hu al yidei haTorah, kemo shekasavnu, bizman shekolo shel Yaakov nishma, im ken chas v'sholem im kol echad pono liatzmo, im ken nimtza she'en miyamur b'kishri ha'melchama, noshuva lechazek bedek beis Yisrael, v'neira pei es beit tamidrashot shenishberu al yidei haTorah. You can also just see, like, the devastation, which is totally, accurate and scary, you know, how you had these, you know, completely, I mean, there were always, flaws, you know, where there are human beings, there are flaws. So any Jewish community, you know, there was no Jewish community that was perfect. But the advent of the Haskalah, you know, in general, emancipation, you know, enlightenment, you know, et cetera, for the first time, you know, really, opened certain floodgates and really, you know, tore into the fabric of Jewish life in Europe. And, you know, what were totally traditional communities, even if the people, you know, weren't always consistent, you know, in their, you know, conduct or application, you know, again, there were always, you know, flawed individuals and even flawed, you know, broad flaws, you know, in people's communal structures and practices, but, you know, the idea of Chil Shabbos or, you know, living, you know, outside the halacha, certainly in a flagrant way, you know, that was, you know, culturally unacceptable and religiously. It was almost like a, you know, no line between the cultural and the religious in that respect. Le tova and le ra'a in some respects, because you can have, you know, you can have, you know, people who were, you know, Oved Hashem by rote, and Mitzvot Anashim Belumada. On the other hand, you know, they behaved in a certain way, and they passed that to their children, etc. And then the emancipation, you know, and the enlightenment, you know, and for the first time, you know, you could have, you know, whole chunks, and then ultimately the majority of the community that just, you know, didn't behave, you know, according to the halacha. And you can, you know, see in the pain and in the fear of these writings of people who, you know, live and breathe, you know, Torah and understand it deeply, you know, how painful that is and the positions that they took. So I say there's a lot, you know, that's open to argue with in this presentation, and there's also a lot to inspire, you know, and to emulate in it as well. So in a little bit of a more moderate, you know, example of this is Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in his Kovetz Shiurim. Again, I don't want to use up all the time. But so, Tshuva L'Shol Medina Yadua, okay, that, you know, country that shall not be named, right? She'elam Mutali Tasek B'Chakmot. This is a Simon Mem Zayin in the Kovetz Shiurim. And again, it's a much longer piece. I'm not even going to read. But it is, it overlaps a lot. In that sense, it reflects a common sensibility. And it's also much more matun. It's just, you know, more a more moderate response and one that's a little more open and flexible on the one hand, you know, to parnasa issues and people who, you know, who do have proper filters and are pursuing things in a sincere way, etc. So it's a little bit less extreme in the way that it's written. So tshuva, hashela zos nechleka lekama chalakim, aleph, ima hitatkut, hayitaskut, hazot mevia lekriya svarim sheyesh bahem minus asur, right? What are you reading? What are you studying? Hakori besvarim kilo over, below sase, delivelo sasuru, kimbevur barambam, perik besokos avadazara, linyan sifre avadazara, kavachomer lesifre kfira, which is an interesting statement, but true. Hakamura yoser me'avadazara, shari oved avadazara, nidom de bezdin, betzara chasra, varodef achre avadazara, laobda lo nitan ma'atzila benavsha. Ilu kofrim, right, mitzval kolodom lahoridan, like a maridin below malin, benetzara chasra, below bezdin. So that's worse. So in the sense that this gives you pause and shows you that there's a lot, you know, out there that is spiritually dangerous and needs to be, you know, avoided, and the implications of it need to be avoided, it's a very important perspective. Near Kiva de Aser Lisrapos is exactly the same line that the Bir HaShmuel had. Kiva de Aser Lisrapos be'atzei asherah, afilu b'makom sakana, mishum dilma aser le'am shuche achrei abanazara, who adin b'kriyas sifrei minus, shayachatam hazeh. Well, the Shittas Aramban, the Aser Yisra Hanam, me'abanazara, b'chlala b'zrayud abanazara, all the good issues from the sugya in Sanhedrin and in Psachim. Anyways, that's one. B. Imein tzorech likro b'sifrei minus, el shetzorech lislamid b'gymnazios v'universitaos bein yaldei nachrim. Here the, in, you know, the environment part and the, you know, potential influence from the people who inhabit the environment is much more a factor in this presentation that a Rav Aruch bears. Roa adam bibno bito shazem maybe lahem lischaber l'nachrim u'darcheihem over and below sasei shomer l'cha peti nakei shacharehem. Right, we're worried about the environment. V'atorat sifsa l'hitracheiko l'hibadel mehem mikol minein b'richuk l'rama perket alfa chosavad azara and lo nigalo avasenu m'mitzrayim b'l'beskuz sheloshinu shmoseim l'shonam u'bigdeihem. So that is an interesting factor and one that is relevant even bizman azeh. Imalimud eno maybe likriyas sifrei minus l'iskaber l'nachrim v'lomaid chochmas gitzionios l'shem umanus kedei l'isparnes mimena Torah u parnasa or malacha. Right? Ein shum iser bazeh v'limud umanus. Again, he doesn't take the position, you know, that everything is a violation of mitzvah Talmud Torah, you know, and so on. The limud umnos kdeli hisparnes hi mitzvah. Ma'ayin atam aposka b'shabas al tinok l'lamda umanus, stava b'chal chepze shamayim, chai v'adam l'lamdis b'no umanus, al shizeu l'chal olam, abal imroa adam b'bno, this is of course a very different tone, shenafsho choshka batora, u'mukhsha lios godol batora, b'ze omar rab nahoroi, ma'niach ani kol umanus shabba olam, v'eni m'lamed espini ela torah. V'lo cholak rab nahoroi, so this is coming a little bit from the opposite perspective of, you know, Rav Baruch Baer's, you know, specific treatment. Although again, it's not a big argument, but an important argument. The EF Shalomar B'das Noroi Shashum Adam Lo Yisasek B'Umanos Rak B'Torah Levada Kiu Davar Sheyefshar Kona B'Yasa Mashiach U'Kroksiv. This goes back, of course, to the V'Yasafta D'Ganecha, you know, and Hanig Ben Minig Derech Eretz. And the Gemara in Makos, hey, umanos, again, I'm not going to go into that, but there's a whole discussion here about umanos, which is, you know, far more flexible. Then he has a category which is very interesting. Hecha she'ein tzarech lalom del betoros umanos, ala sherotza lishtasheya ba. I mean, he just enjoys, whether it's literature, or reading history, or philosophy, or finds it, you know, to be meaningful. He's speaking more in terms of pleasure. He's not really dealing with the category of like things that illuminate, you know, the human condition, which is what Rav Hirsch or what, you know, we speak about when we talk about, you know, positive Torah umada. He's not so much related to that, but Rotza Lishtasheya says that Yesh Makom Lasser Mishum Bitul Torah Hecha Da'ayol Yarka Leil Bisser V'Kivri. I mean, that's just a question like, you know, but that's empty things, and even then he's kind of acknowledging Benir Bazet. Myri Harama, the Kasav Mutar Lilmod Be'akroy, again, a different, you know, Mutar Lilmod Be'akroy is Dvarim HaMishtashehim B'Shar Chachmos, in the Korib Yerushalmi. Lihigayo Nitnu V'lo Lihigiyah. Elikakorib Yigaris, I mean, you want to read something joyful or pleasureful, you know, but more casually. But again, the question is, what does casual, you know, really mean? Does it mean 5 minutes, or does it mean, you know, you're not getting your values from here, and of course you're not putting your serious, you know, investment or your, you know, primary, you know, time into that. That's also interesting. Why not? Again, this is more in what I was saying before. I mean, the keva akroy isn't so much like, you know, only akroy in the most, you know, minimal meaning. It's more like you have to be careful always to reflect the hierarchies. And the hierarchy, you know, if you're going to treat, you know, dvarim hamishtashim, never mind dvarim hamirim, hamisayim, hamosifim, you know, to your Torah, even if it's a tafel way. But even mishtashaya, the point is shaloitilam chashivas ke chashivas haTorah. V'le yishkach kitachlis hayitzira hi rak l'Torah. V'akdamas harambam l'pirsh mishnayis, herach levayr, in la kodesh baruch hu v'alama l'dal l'amas shal halacha, kein kavanasan lomar shein tzorech la'olam b'shum chachma zulas haTorah, ki be'emes kol hachachmos nitzrachos li'yishiva olam. Again, this is a much more expansive view. Ela she'enan hatachlis rak emtsaim lahatachlis. And of course, if you're quoting the Rambam and you know what the Rambam did, so, you know, obviously the Rambam's, you know, devotion to studying philosophy and all other things wasn't even just l'hishtasheya. That for him was considered to be, you know, part of his avodas Hashem. Not that he made a birchas haTorah on it, but that it contributed to the birchas Hashem, his avodas Hashem. Then in Hay, ubiikar godol zeh nishtabshu ma'od bebedinasam shechshivu limudim chitzonim kimolim l'Torah. He's critical about this fine line, you know, in Western Europe or in Germany. Kisvurim hayu dekamosh tzarich l'umod Torah l'shma kein tzarich l'umod limudim chitzonim l'shma afilo enin shrichan l'umdaso v'raya shekein daitam sharei dorshin me'atzma v'lom b'pnei chok hashilton me'rabonim shiu doctor l'philosophia yal pi das Torah nafochu. Okay, that's a little bit interesting. I mean, there has to be a purpose. It shouldn't be. But again, for him, he doesn't mean things that are enhancing. What he means is you should not be, you know, making a principle out of something that is more neutral and by thereby detracting from what should be a principle, and that is Limud HaTorah and Shmiras Halacha. La sosum kardum lachbabo. The totzas hashibush hazeh shehishvu b'madrega achas. And this is the thing that we all have to be careful about. Limud chacham eschitzonos limud haTorah. Ra umar ma'od. Kamislamdim lios rabbanim levad shem tzrichim v'kabe soros shoos lis parnes o tzrichim lelech l'universita v'torosam emasai tehinasis. And these are all points that we can totally identify with. A Torah chogera sak Shechnisu tzarasa lebesa leman harima. But again, the Torah Chogera Sak, which also appears, I think, in the Rab Chaim piece or in Rab Baruch Ber, is a very different one in this presentation. Umasha shogur b'fiyam amaymer tov Torah im derech eretz. This is already a reference to Rav Hirsch. Hinei b'medrash Rabba isa solas belula b'shemen shatei Torah belula b'masim tovim ki ha titznan tova Torah im derech eretz. Meaning, is that really the pshat? So there's a whole discussion about that part. Again, that's, you know, not primarily the, you know, the real foundation anyway. Also very interesting, meaning they had this, you know, pipe dream, you know, that if they become cultured, you know, that that will, you know, trigger a decline in anti-Semitism. All that is true. It's true that many people were motivated by that. It's also true that it was a huge fallacy, is a huge fallacy. Adaraba ikar sibat sasina li Yisrael b'dorasenu m'pnei sha'abarnu ala atzasai abinu hazokein l'man titra'u v'day l'meivin. U'b'yameinu, sha'yidei hasaras ha'tabas nit'orer etzlam ruach tahara lo shuv la'derach asher darchu ba avosenu me'olam reishis kol ha'tikunim tzarech li'os b'minu ya'rabanim ki kulam gufa basa reisha garim. So it's all in the smicha program and the priorities in the smicha program. Okay, so you should be aware of that. Tachasar asher Asher ad ata dorshu me atabidim lios rabbanim she yochal universita, aleim lidrosh me miata shalo yochal universita. Okay. V'chalamarba b'tora b'yiras elokim b'shubach. That part is for sure true. V'lo amarba b'philosophia. Again, you know, and we believe that, you know, the philosophy that is, you know, an augment to, you know, the Rambam's philosophy, not literally. But I mean, Aristotelian philosophy. The chem bechinuch habanim lo yivakshu mehem umanus, right? Haba aidei kriyab b'sefer minus. Anyways, the general idea that he talks about going to the theater, not so into that either. But then finally, mashe kosav kinir midivrei hakadmonim shenachku muta lusasek in the philosophia be'emes kenu, meaning the status of philosophy. It's an old debate, he says. Of course, this is the big debate, and there's a huge literature on the introduction of the Chovos HaVavos, and you know, there were many people who printed the Chovos HaVavos, and they took out the first you know, section. The Chovos HaVavos is really very passionate about, you know, chakira and study of philosophy. Aval ma'isa tzleinu ein shum nafgamina k'adavar pashut kigam l'das ha'matirin eina heter l'heched de lo shchia kazeka. Here's where the risk factor comes in. Hainu ba'noshim shemilu kresa v'basar v'yayin k'lishon ha'rambam v'asher yurasam kodemus l'kachmasa shekol aruchos shavolam le'azizim b'mekoma be'elo omer shemitzvam l'var hu'amuna idei chakira. Aval lo ba'noshim p'chusei erach kamonu. This is, of course, the idea that, you know, it's Yechidei Skula only who can handle this. Asher Sakana Atzuma Lintos Velitos V'Le'olam Layamad Adam B'Makom Sakana, and so on. And, you know, this is how he speaks about the Rambam and Rav Hirsch, you know, etc. Again, I want to get to the other part. I guess I'll take another. Anyways, and Rav Breuer, in his essays that were printed a couple of years ago, so he discusses this question, and again, I don't have time to read all of it right now. And of course, he acknowledges, you know, very honestly, the critiques of Rav Hirsch. He also notes that some people attributed, you know, his views as a horasha. God's Torah obligates us to never-ending, unadulterated fulfillment of its precepts. It makes allowance for the temporary neutralization of the law, meaning horasha. And then he says, Rav Hirsch's concept of Torah Derech Eretz, shared by his rabbinical contemporaries and disciples, is too well known to warrant renewed discussions in these pages. He viewed it as the only possible way in which the sons and daughters of our people were to prove and maintain themselves as proud members of the nation of God in ideology as well as action, in the midst of a culture surrounding of an entirely different orientation. So it's interesting. In parts, Rav Breuer's comments, you know, reflect the reality, of course, of Western Europe being in the midst of a culture surrounding, you know, of an entirely different orientation. But within that reality, you know, he's trying to suggest that this is the only way, the best way, and even in certain many cases, many respects, the l'chadchila way. Elsewhere, he, you know, even outside of that context, you know, he makes it clear that Rav Hirsch's view and his own view is that a proper balance in applying Torah Derech Eretz, you know, is the l'chadchila, even if you take out the factor of the cultural surrounding and the inability to completely, you know, filter it out. But again, you know, just as you would expect in an honest presentation, these are some of the factors, you know, that you need to consider. The life of the Yehudi in the business world, equipped with all available skills, as well as the life of the academician, were to be elevated to a true Kiddush Hashem, or these professions be left to those who are estranged from Torah Judaism, like which? Rav Hirsch and the proponents of his ideology were fully aware, this is fascinating, that their approach to Jewish education and professional training would also claim victims. They knew it in advance, he's saying, and, you know, that was part of the calculation. They regretted this deeply, but they saw no other way. They were equally cognizant of the disapproval of their course by rabbinical leaders in other countries. This is on page 507, by the way, if you have the book. The following is a characteristic of Rav Hirsch's thinking. To an inquiry that reached him from one of the countries of Eastern Europe regarding the nature and acceptability of Torah and Derech Eretz Pesach, I'm going to stop in like 2 more minutes. He replied, the question would have to be decided by the local rabbinical authorities in the East. Meaning he was very respectful of, number one, the fact that the situation in Eastern Europe may have been different than Western Europe in terms of, you know, the kind of dangers or the recipe that his, you know, particular ideology, you know, would A, be successful, would be lechatchila given other alternatives, or how that ideology would play out specifically in the context, you know, of those changed circumstances. So his view was, as much as he was a passionate advocate of Torah Derech Eretz, lechatchila, lechatchila, and lechatchila, you know, given the realities in which he lived, his respect for and his flexibility, you know, were such that he thought that these were issues that should be decided by local rabbinic authorities, which is another way of saying, you know, their ideology, you know, is acceptable too, and maybe better for their circumstances. A point to ponder. How many victims may have been claimed by the rejection of the Torah and Derech Eretz ideology? This is a very strong statement. Certain circles that found it difficult to remain unaware of the greatness of Rav Hirsch maintain that his demand for Torah Derech Eretz was but a Horah Shah, essentially prohibited for the Torah Chudru and found necessary only for the salvation and strengthening of Torah. It's claimed that its validity as a Horah Shah is limited to the conditions of life prevailing in the time of Rav Hirsch. Anyone who's had but a fleeting insight into the life and work of Rav Hirsch will realize that his Torah Derech Eretz formula was never intended by him as a Horah Shah. He states firmly in a draft of bylaws for his kehillah, our school must be governed by the spirit of Torah and Derech Eretz. At no time and under no circumstances may it give up these principles of Torah and Derech Eretz education. Or shall we listen to Rav Hirsch in his famed polemical essay against the Breslau Seminary in the collected writings? We mean Judaism in its unabridged totality is wedded with the spirit of all true science and knowledge. It's been our aim to show that this Judaism, this complete Judaism, Torah Hashem Tamima, does not belong to the antiquated past, but to the vigorous, pulsating life of the present. I'm skipping a little bit. Because we want to see Jewish life and Jewish scholarship understood in the light of true science and knowledge, because we can see the survival and future flowering of Judaism only in terms of the intimate union with the spirit of true science and knowledge in every age, we're the most avowed foes of all spurious science and knowledge, and of any attempt under the misappropriated mask of scientific research to lay axe to the very roots of our sacred Jewish heritage. And then he makes it clear. For if it were indeed true that there was no alternative, this is obvious, but it always needs to be repeated, if any attempt at scholarly research per se were indeed capable of shaking the very foundations of Judaism as it was given to the House of Israel for its eternal mission, never to be abridged, if we had only a choice between Judaism and science, then we would simply have no alternative. Better a Jew without science than a science without Judaism. But, thank God, it is not necessary for us to make such a choice. Does this Hirschian demand for Torah Derech Eretz bear the slightest resemblance to Horah Shah? Then he goes on to discuss that even Horah Shah, there are Horah Shahs that run out, you know, and that are very, you know, where the counter-pressure is constantly being evaluated. And then there are Horah Shahs which come about as a Horah Shah because of particular circumstance and, you know, A, the Horah Shah, you know, is supposed to continue, you know, for a long, long period of time. It gives the example, of course, of the writing of Torah Shebal Peh, Eis Lasos Hashem Eferu Torah Secha. And he says that in some cases, you know, probably because of Ashgacha, he doesn't say this, but, you know, it also ends up producing benefits, notwithstanding its initial Horah Shah formulation. Are the conditions that refer to the rabbinical leaders to the supposed Horah Shah any less valid in our time? Is it any less vital for our contemporary youth, right, to comprehend Judaism from within? In surrounding poisoned in surroundings, poisoned by aesthetic and materialistic slogans, to absorb cultural values, only that which is worthwhile and noble, and to accept only the scientific theories that fit into the framework of divine science. Such Torah Derech Eretz should be any less needed in our time. I'm going to stop here, because it's, and then he talks about Eretz Yisrael and post-Shoah. Very interesting things and a very balanced presentation. A personal footnote at the end of this particular piece, he says, on the day that he passed away, my father, that's Reb Shlomo Breuer, told me, quote, I am firmly convinced that the way shown by Rav Hirsch, Zatzal, will be Makarev HaGeula. And then it concludes, a sacred testament. So just the takeaway, I'm already over my time, is that, as I said before, I think that there's a lot like inspirational in all these writings. Obviously, there are different perspectives. Some of that is, you know, accountable in terms of the different experiences of Eastern and Western Europe, but also temperamentally and in the education of the Talmid Chachamim, you know, involved, but also the weighing of, you know, the alternatives that are relevant for their communities. There are certain principles that everybody certainly agrees to, and certain inspirational formulations of them in the writings, you know, of each. And I think that, you know, instead of reading them and saying he's right, he's wrong, you know, that's always counterproductive. You're dealing with great people. In the end of the day, you know, people need to, you know, decide when there are differences in policy, you know, and you have to have a mechanism to make decisions. But just as a matter of, you know, personal education, you know, there's so much in the, you know, machlokas l'shem shamayim on each side, you know, that is not only not mutually exclusive, but in a way heightens our appreciation of the risks, as well as our appreciation of some of the consequences, you know, of each policy. And, you know, those should inspire us, even as we move forward, to try to apply, you know, these principles and, you know, to find the right policy for our community and our generation, you know, to be inspired by all parts of the argument and the maximization, you know, of all of the values, you know, that are so passionately argued here, and which are all really, you know, foundations of, you know, principled foundations of our commitment. So, sorry for the.
Ready?
Yeah.